I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This team is 7-1 against the spread all season long, and I haven't been taking them as often as I should. Let me take you back almost over 10 years now.
Do I need a lunch for this?
December 19th. December 19th.
1 second. I got to get my flip-flops and a Gatorade and a sack lunch.
December 19th, 2010.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. Know we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, the only gambling show that makes you money, and a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Now, I say the only gambling show that makes you money, knowing full well our record last week, but we've done the work and we're ready to go this week. We're going to have a Thursday night lean, as always, the Sunday night lock, which we've all been doing really well on, and then we're ending the show with a King of the Coast section, where each of the hosts here is giving up five bets for this week nine slate. Three sides, a teaser, and a total. Excited to get back on the horse. I know we've been struggling. Schaefer the Sharp, how you feeling heading into this week?
I'm still, I'm like cramming before the test, guys. I got my freaking notes and my pen. And I'm in my app right now. So I am very determined to get off the schnoz, as Dangles enjoys that terminology. And I do feel good. I do feel good about this week. A lot of good teaser legs.
Yeah, I think good.
A lot of value on the board, and ready to get into it. Let's bounce back, baby.
Diggity, how you feeling?
Well, like I said to you in our pre-show meeting, it's hard to do a lot worse than we did last week. I'm out here hoping I can do a little bit better, maybe replicate that 5-0 week from a couple of weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago, but it seems so far away after just getting absolutely raked across the coals last week on some really bad beats. I think a lot of people, obviously Survivor Pools, got destroyed by that Bengals loss, and that certainly ruined a couple of Brinks truck spreads here on our show, but we've only got up to go.
We're still alive somehow in a survivor pool. Thank you, Buffalo, and thank you Drew for guiding us in the light there. I will say there is some news before we get to the Thursday night lean. The biggest news of the week, not Derrick Henry injury news, although that Austin Huff interview was a lot of fun. There is some big news. If you haven't heard already, Aaron Rodgers will not be playing this Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. He got popped with the COVID. That changed the line dramatically, almost a full 7 points now in Kansas City's favor. It's an interesting line change. Schaefer the Sharp, I want to go to you first. That line change, is Aaron Rodgers worth 7 points on the line? That's what Vegas is telling us.
Actually, I've heard an argument that he's actually worth more than that, Tony. He's actually, I think, the most valuable quarterback to the line in football. But I might have something to say about this later. I think it's a lot to do with the opponent they're playing.
Yeah.
Obviously everyone just saw the Chiefs, scratch and claw out a Monday night ugly victory. I've been saying this in our group text for 4 weeks, guys. I mean, I really truly believe something's fundamentally wrong with the Chiefs. I think something's fundamentally wrong with Mahomes. And I think Trent Dilfer said it best, the stuff that Mahomes did that used to make you laugh, he's doing the same stuff now that's going to make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
As far as just like his reckless abandon. I mean, he's still obviously, the most talented quarterback, I think, in the world. But just really curious about that team. And, I think I might speak on this later.
I might as well, too. Yeah. But Dangles, with this news coming out this morning, obviously a surprise to anyone. Has this changed your view on the game at all? Are you a little disappointed that it won't be Rodgers versus Mahomes? What are you thinking?
Who wouldn't be? You know, of course you want to see Rodgers versus Mahomes. You got a potential, you know, well, at least at a certain point, a potential Super Bowl matchup the way the Chiefs have been playing recently.
Yeah.
You don't know. I don't know if I agree that there's something wrong with Patrick Mahomes. We can get more into this later. I think teams have just figured out how to stop him a little bit better over the years. But, I mean, I'm still excited about this game. It'll still be fun. You still got two great teams. Aaron Rodgers, you know, you talked about how much value he brings to the line, but he is just one dude in that 52-team locker room, and you need 11 guys on offense and 11 guys on defense at any given time to help you win the game. It isn't just the one guy. So here's Jordan Love's opportunity. You know, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world if we saw a quarterback that nobody thought could be good actually be good. See notes on Mike White just from last week. Obviously, Jordan Love is a first-round draft pick, so you'd hope for a little bit more out of him than somebody like Mike White, who was taken, I think, what, like the third or fourth round or something like that? So in any event, I'm still very excited for this game. As far as the Rodgers situation goes, I mean, we can get into that. I do think there's some questionable leadership decisions there. I'll be interested to hear what you have to say on the topic, Tony. But obviously a huge loss for the Packers going into this game against the Chiefs, in a game that the Chiefs really need to win too, giving them extra urgency, even with if Rodgers was going to be playing, to come out and play really well.
Yeah, the one seed in the AFC, Tennessee, loses their best player, Derrick Henry, for the season, and the one seed in the NFC as it stands right now loses their best player for this game in Kansas City, and potentially next week in Seattle as well. When it comes to disappointment, Dangles, you hit the nail on the head. And I do want to speak a little bit on it. Listen, we're not the show that usually goes into these things. We're not the show that we usually stay above the fray. We usually talk about comedy, about sports, and we're going to get to that in the Thursday Night Lean coming up after this. But I did want to speak on this topic, and I'm going to preface it by saying that my views here are mine. And I don't represent Dangles. I don't represent Drew. I don't represent the show, Gaming Society, Evergreen Podcast. This is coming straight from Tony Cavallo. And I've been thinking about what to say on this all day, and it's been bugging me, and I've almost been praying, hoping out loud that, you know, if only there was a way to avoid this situation, you know, if only there was a way we could find a solution here, that all the best and brightest minds out there, the best scientists, the best doctors, the best medical professionals could come together and figure out a solution to this problem. If only there was a way that they could find something that not only greatly reduced your risk of catching this disease, but exponentially reduce your risk of being hospitalized by this disease. A disease that, I mean, you look at athletes like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the NBA, a disease that forces them to play now NBA games with an inhaler on the sideline because of the breathing problems they have from this disease. If only there was a way, I mean, this might be asking for too much, but if only there was a way we could make it free and available to the public, widespread. Maybe that's the socialist in me, I don't know. But if only there was a way we could test this on people and make sure it's safe from ages 6 to 96. And if by chance there was a way they could solve this problem, if by chance we could figure this out, and one still chose not to participate and not to partake, putting themselves at greater risk, but also their family, their friends, their community, their co-workers, in this case, their football team. If one chose not to partake, if this solution came to us, I would call that a pretty fucking selfish decision. And disappointing, to say the least. If only there was a way we could avoid this problem. But that's all I got to say on the topic, and that's all we're going to talk about it. Now let's go back to the fun. Coming up after this, it's time for the Thursday Night Lean.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, boys, we get a treat this Thursday. It's time for the Thursday Night Lean. We're each going to give out a bet here. We're all giggling around 500 with these Thursday Night Lean bets, but I'm excited for this one because we get the return of Mike White, Magic Mike himself. Very excited to see what this guy can do. But Dangles, what do we got on the slate for Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I wish it was better. I wish it was better. We're not that far removed from Packers Arizona, which was an excellent game. This one's slightly less exciting. The New York Jets travel to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis to take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Jets are 2-5. The Colts are 3-5 coming into this game. The line is 10.5 points in favor of the Colts. And the total in this game is 46 points. The Jets are 2-5 against the spread this year. The Colts 5-3 against the spread, and the Jets 4-3 on totals. The Colts 5-3 on totals. I probably would not be betting this game if we didn't have to. Because I think there are just so many variables here, but I'll be interested to hear what you guys have to say about it. Shafe the Sharp, why don't we start with you? What's your Thursday night lean?
Well, guys, everyone was very quick to anoint Mike White, the second coming of
quick is
Jesus
an understatement.
Himself. my question is this guy the next Brett Favre? Is this guy the next Nick Mullins, who made his Thursday night debut and torched just absolutely – was a bat out of hell in his Thursday night view? And my answer to that is probably somewhere in between. This line doesn't make any sense to me. The Colts, I actually read teams that coming off an overtime game on Sunday, have to play on short rest, are just an incredible. I'm not a big trend guy. 3-24 ATS.
Wow.
OT on Sunday, having to play on short rest on Thursday, when their opponent obviously doesn't have to play overtime. There's no way I'm touching the Colts here. Strong lean on the Jets. I'll probably sprinkle something on the Jets. I was actually trying to look at Mike White props. I actually like, if I get plus money on him over 1.5 interceptions, I think he does have that gunslinger mentality. I think he's prone to turn the ball over. I just can't quite trust him. So I'm going to give a strong lean to the Jets, but my official Thursday night bet will be, I'm going to tail my buddy Sleepy J from the Betting Predators. And I don't usually blindly tail these guys. I get to the point where I try to make my own decisions. I don't like to be a copycat, but he gave this bet out and I actually did my own research on it. Guys, Michael Carter last week had 15 carries for 77 yards. He had 9 receptions on 14 targets. Now he got in the end zone. His anytime score TD plus 160 on our proud partner DraftKings.
Wow.
Sleepy said that should be a negative bet. I'm going to tell my friend Sleepy J, I'm going Michael Carter anytime TD plus 160. JETS Jets, Jets, Jets.
Well, Drew, you are 4-0 when betting on the Jets this year, so that's a pretty good slate. And you're also 5-2 when taking prop bets, so you're pretty damn good on that. And what are you, 5-4 on Thursday night lean? So you got winning records all around here. Excited to see that. Dangles, I'm going to go next because I'm only 4-4 on Thursday night football, and also because Drew talked about a man that I'm going to use for my bet. Indy's got a really good defense. They have a really, really good defense. Their only real fault that I could find is the fact that they're only 23rd DVOA when covering the running back in the passing game. And as Drew said, Michael Carter had 14 targets in that game. He had 9 receptions. Mike White came out, and he did what he was supposed to do. Mike Lombardi always loved to say, when you're a quarterback, you can't go broke when you're making a profit. And Mike White loved checking down. Ty Johnson had a great day in the passing game as well. I think that continues. I think Indy's going to be able to stop the run. I think Indy's going to score on this team. Jets might be playing from behind, so they're going to try to pass again. But that Indy defense is really good. Where they might be able to find success is those little checkdowns to the running back. It might not get him a first down like Kirk Cousins against Dallas last Sunday night, but I think there's going to be opportunity there. I'm not taking Michael Carter anytime touchdown, but I do like that bet. Maybe Pepe the Plant will have something to say about that. I am taking Michael Carter over 4.5 receptions in the game. I know it's a lot of receptions for a running back, but I think that's what the only thing that's going to be working for this Jets team. Michael Carter over 4.5 receptions for this game. Dangles, what do you got?
Well, let's make it a Jets trifecta here. The numbers are not in my I'm good at betting Thursday night games, but I'm 1-4 this year when betting on the Jets. So that's something working against me. I'm going to instead go with the bet here that I believe Tony Squares, you got actually burned on a couple of weeks ago against the Patriots, that I'm hoping to make right here. The Jets have been a second half team all season long. In their last four games, they've scored 20, 17, and 17. I can absolutely see this game starting out slow for the Jets if they try to come out and run the ball against the Colts. You brought up their very good defense, Tony. They're fourth in rush defense per Pro Football Focus and first in rush DVOA this year, according to Football Outsiders. I have the Jets second half over 7.5 points because this not only allows us, you know, to play that trend where the Jets are scoring it a lot in the second half, but if they do come out slow like they often do in the first quarter, there will be garbage time and plenty of time for them, for a Michael Carter to get those receptions and score that anytime touchdown and help us get that 7.5 points. So Jets second half over at +100, over 7.5 at +100 is my Thursday night lean.
Dangles, that bet is giving me nightmares still, so I hope you get it right. I hope you get it right. But that is it for the Thursday night lean. Let's move on now to a very interesting Sunday night lock that's coming up next.
West Coast Gamblers.
All right, boys, we thought we were going to be getting Derrick Henry versus Aaron Donald in Sunday night. That's not going to happen. Dangles, lay down the line. What is our Sunday Night Football Al Michaels special?
You know, we talk a lot about how far we have to travel to go to some of these games. Guys, just a short 30-mile drive down the 110 freeway from where I'm sitting right now outside of Los Angeles in northeast Los Angeles. We have SoFi Stadium, the site for the Tennessee Titans sans Derrick Henry, coming to town to take on the Rams. The Titans 6-2, the Rams 7-1. Spread in this game giving 7.5 points to the LA Rams at home. The total is 54. That's per our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Tennessee 6-2 against the spread this year. The Rams just 4-4, even against the spread. Tennessee 5-3 on totals. The Rams 5-2-1. Tony Squares, let's start with you this time around. Your Sunday night lock, sir.
This one was tough. Because the spread, I think, is the right number, because this Tennessee team, I mean, they are obviously missing Derrick Henry, their talisman, but they played pretty well all around, especially in the passing game. So I think they can keep themselves into it. And Los Angeles, on the other hand, should be able to pick themselves up for this game. They've been beating the pants off of the last three teams they faced, but those last three teams were Houston, Detroit, and the New York Giants. So Tennessee sort of presents a little bit of more challenge in that regard. What I think I've found, though, is that the LA Rams like to come out, and those first slate of plays and the first adjustments they make are pretty successful at it. In fact, the last three first halves that they've played, they've scored 28 points, 17 points, and 24 points in the first half. Their first half number against this Tennessee defense, which is only 20th in DVOA, not very good against the rush, is 16.5 points. So I think LA comes out. I don't know what Tennessee does, but I think LA comes out and scores points in the first half. I'm going over LA Rams team total, 16.5 in the first half. Dangles, what do you got?
I want to believe that the Titans can stay in this one, but I just don't know about this. The losing Derrick Henry is huge. I'm still very high on this Rams team. I think, and especially coming into this game, I think they come in with a no one can beat us mentality, having just locked up, I think what they see is maybe the final piece to their championship puzzle, not to mention getting it for a pittance, Von Miller. And that allows them in, you know, just one way, I guess, that you could see how this helps them, obviously, and that he's great. This allows them to move Aaron Donald back to the interior. He's been playing left and right defensive end, and he plays all over the line. He's good at all those positions, but where he really makes the most impact is at that defensive tackle position, where he can crush the pocket from the top with his strength and his size. Bringing Vaughn in allows Raheem Morris to put Aaron back in the middle and let Vaughn handle the edge rushing with his speed. And I think there's going to be an adjustment period for the Titans offense without Derrick Henry. And it's not just being about them being without him. It's about what he brings to the field in terms of having to scheme for him and match up against him defensively. I think the Rams are just going to spend the night dropping back in two high shells and daring the Titans to run the ball on them. Tannehill's only got two multi-touchdown games this year. Now, granted, that's because they typically haven't had to rely on him to win the game, the last second touchdown against the Buffalo Bills notwithstanding. But I think there's going to be some shakiness coming out. I'm taking the Rams spread here at 7.5 points at home to beat the Titans.
Okay, Dangles. 7.5. You like Sean McVay and the Rams. Hey, man, there's a very good chance that that happened. Schaefer the Sharp, where are you going, my friend?
You know, it's funny. Looking at this game, I couldn't help but think about Rodgers being out for Green Bay and obviously Henry being out for the Titans. Now, I think running back, I think, is the most replaceable position in the NFL to date. It's been that way for a while. You see all these backup backs come in, pick up right where they left off with their starters. It's all about running schemes, offensive line. But I think it goes without saying there's no running back even close to being as important as Derrick Henry for the Tennessee Titans. Not only just because of his production, but he sets the tone for the entire offense. He sets the tone for play action. He sets the tone for A.J. Brown, for Julio Jones. And when you see the Rams here, like you said, Dangles, I'm not sure the impact Von Miller is going to have, if any, on Sunday night. But I do think they will have a little jolt of energy. It's officially the second half of the season. They're obviously going for broke. God help you if you're a Rams fan in 5 years, because like Tony said, you have zero draft picks till 2030. But no one's worried about that right now. They're playing to win now.
Yeah.
Now, the Titans, I have bet against the Titans in some shape, way, or form the last 3 weeks. And like I said, my family, we ate at the Gospel Mission, had soup on Sunday night. Wasn't the best. But I just wonder, guys, five-game winning streak. They have the division almost in hand. I wonder if it's similar like when the Rams had that huge game against they beat the Bucks and they just had a complete letdown spot at home against the Cardinals. I just have to think at some point Tennessee is going to lay down and just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't need this game. This game, it's not a conference game. They have a very comfortably in the division. They're without D. Henry. I just wonder. I think this has a boat race potential, and the Rams are prone to get margin, like you said, Tony, especially in that first half. But I don't think the Titans are a team, even though they have a good offense and Tannehill can sling it around. If there's no threat to run, I think the Rams will defend that rather well. So I'm making a debut. Usually I don't do this, but I really like this line. I'm making a debut of an alternate line.
Oh boy.
At plus money. I'm going to go the Los Angeles Rams at an alternate line at -12.5.
Oh my.
At +150. You get $1.50 for your dollar, and I really do think there is potential here for a boat race for the Rams. Obviously, I like him on the number, but I think I really like them to win by 13 or more here. I like the plus money, so I'm going to play an alternate line, -12.5 at +150.
Drew, you're 6-2 on Sunday Night Football lock, so I'm not going to go against your record. I will say, you do owe fellow Tennessee Titan fan Ryan Hurd a little video as a loss
it's
that
coming.
You had last week. And also, we had Austin Huff on the pod earlier this week talking about this Titans team. Do you want to say anything to those two guys before you put up LA -12.5?
Well, I mean, like I said, I love the Bills against them. That was a loss. I had the Chiefs in a contest. I hated that pick as soon as I made it. And then last week I was all over the Colts. I can't say. Can we talk about Carson Wentz for a sec? Tony's man.
Oh,
holy hell, guys.
Do we have to?
Holy hell. Holy hell. I literally, like, not to be too graphic, this is like, Tony, this is, we said we're not a political podcast. We're certainly not a sexual podcast, but my penis went inside my stomach when I saw Carson Wentz throw those two. I can't do it. I can't handle it. So that's all I'll say about that. I just don't like the man.
All right. Fair enough. With that, let's move on to the King of the Coast section that is coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
All right, guys, week 9, it's time for King of the Coast. I did it again. I always start these segments with "All right, guys." I will change, I promise. I'm working on it. The first step to
shots
to change,
every time. Our
the first step to change
hammered.
is, you know, no denial here, acceptance. King of the Coast. Each of the hosts here is going to give out 5 bets, 3 sides, a teaser, and a total. Each of these bets is confidence ranked. That first side we give out is worth 1 point. That second side is worth 2 points. The teaser and the total are also worth 2 points apiece. And we end with the Brinks truck, back up the Brinks truck guarantee, worth 3 whopping points. We've been doing this all season. Last week, none of us did very well, but Drew is still leading the charge with 41 points on the year. Myself, I'm a Brinks truck bet behind him at 38, and Dangles is at 30. 33 looking to move up in the world, but we're starting out with the 1 point side. Dangles, I'm going to go to you first, my friend. Where are you going to start us off in week 9's King of the Coast?
I'm going back to a team that hurt me real bad last week, but that I'm hoping will not do the same. I'm taking the Bengals at -2.5. against the Cleveland Browns. I am 3-1 when betting on Cincinnati, thanks to last week. I think a lot of people are probably going to go ahead and fade this team after they lost to the Jets last week. And I get that, but it's one game. I think we've seen what this team is really made of. They've beaten the Ravens in Baltimore. They've beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And if not for a couple of bad kicks, they probably beat the Packers on Thursday Night Football too.
Absolutely.
Both teams have good defenses. Both are in top 10 in rush DVOA and per PFF's team rushing grades. So for me, I think this comes down to, like, you know, like Drew talks about a lot, who's the quarterback that you trust more? Who is going to do the job in the passing game? And for me, that's the Bengals with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase, of course. And on the Brown side, you've got the off-the-field stuff going on with OBJ and Baker Mayfield. OBJ was apparently out of practice on Wednesday, planned to practice, but was excused from it. Now there's some chatter going back and forth between OBJ's dad and Baker about opportunities. It's on the field, you've got this ragtag team of receivers and a quarterback who's been inconsistent. I think the success of their rush game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt when they're healthy has made it so he doesn't have to do everything, but this Cincy rush defense is solid.
Yeah.
I just don't feel confident enough that Baker can win this game with his arm. I think Cincy bounces back and wins, so I'm taking them for my 1 point side at -2.5 against the Browns.
The quest for seven continues. I will go next because this bet makes me sick, but I'm doing well when betting on this team. In fact, I'm undefeated when betting on this team. And I looked at this. No one should be betting a game where there is a 1-7 team at another 1-7 team. This is a toilet bowl. If you watch more than 5 minutes of this game and you're not a fan of one of these teams, you're doing it wrong. But I looked at the line and I was just so surprised. There is no reason that I can find that Miami with Tua should be 6.5-point favorites against anybody. And I know it's the Houston Texans. And I know they've been boat raced the past few weeks out there. But they were down 38-0 in that Rams game and scored a bunch of points late and almost covered that 16-point spread where it ended. I do think this number continues to go in Miami's favor. I wish it was 7 when I was giving it out, but I'm going to take the 6.5 because there's also a chance that Tyrod Taylor comes back and plays in this game. It makes me sick. I don't like it at all. I hate the two teams that are playing, but 6.5 is too large of a number between two teams that really stink. So that's my first bet, the 1 point side, Houston, +6.5. Shave of the Sharp, where are you going?
Well, guys, sharp is something I was not last week, and I'm going to get back to my ways. And we were having a discussion on our text thread before the show, and what disappointed me so much about the results last week is I know I've been doing this long enough where I knew that weekend was coming, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. I missed the boat, you know? And so I'm really trying to think analytically here from a standpoint of what changed over the course of a week. And we were talking, me and Dangles were talking via text about expectations versus numbers based on a week of results, right? So last week, the look-ahead line of this Panthers-Patriots game was basically pick 'em, Patriots -1. Now, Sam Darnold is not expected to play. Christian McCaffrey might come back. The Panthers had a nice win against the Falcons on the road. Obviously, the Patriots had a great win on the road against the Chargers. But I don't think the Chargers is as good as people thought. And now somehow this line is north of 3.
Yeah.
And we're subtracting Sam Darnold. Now, do I have to remind you Sam Darnold's history against the Patriots? How
it's
is that
great.
A subtraction? How is that a subtraction? Yeah, he might be seeing stars on the sidelines, but I'd rather have him seeing stars on the sidelines than seeing ghosts on the field. Okay? So, again, it might be gross, Tony, to start Philip Walker Jr. against Bill Belichick defense. That might be kind of disgusting, but I'm going strictly on line value here. I like the Panthers defense. The Patriots haven't won by more than 3 against a team not named the New York Jets when Zach Wilson starts. I think this is a grind. I don't think the Patriots are motivated to get margin here. I think this is a hell of a football game. Low total, 41. I'll take the 3.5 points at home for my 1 point side, Carolina Panthers +3.5.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And hey, I'm happy someone finally believes in PJ Walker. I'm not the only one on this show. I can't wait for you to just absolutely ragtag him next week when he doesn't pull off this. But hey, Carolina.
Oh, just wait for my second bet. I have something to say about my second bet. Don't worry.
Carolina +3.5 is what it is. We're now moving on to the teaser section of the day. This is worth 2 points in the King of the Coast rankings. Now, the teaser means you get to take 6 to 7 points and put them in your favor. Drew just gave out Carolina +3.5. If he put them in a 7-point teaser, he'd be able to take Carolina plus 10.5. Now, the trick is you got to take two of these bets, tie them together, and hit both of them in order to win. So, Dangles, we're going to go to you first. You have the worst teaser record on the show. You're only 2-6 on teasers. Turn it around right now. Plenty of football left. What is your two-point teaser for this week?
Well, Tony, I'm going to first go to a game that you've already brought up. I also have no earthly idea how the Dolphins are getting 6.5 points here. Even at home, I don't believe they covered 4 on a neutral field if we're using 2.5 as the home advantage here. They've lost 7 straight since beating the Patriots by 1 in week 1 on a late fumble by the Patriots. And granted, they've had some tough teams along the way. The Bills twice, the Bucks, the Colts, the Raiders. They've also lost games they should have won against the Falcons and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I do think the Dolphins win, but I just couldn't take this at 6.5 because I think there is the chance for Houston to be a little bit scrappy, especially if Tyrod Taylor plays in this game, and they've shown that they can compete with some decent teams the Houston Texans have. They've had a couple of bad losses over the last, 3 weeks where they put up 3 in one game and 5 in another, but still, we've seen even with Davis Mills, this team could be feisty. So I'm going to include the Dolphins in my teaser as 6-point teaser. They are the first leg. I'm teasing them down to basically a pick 'em, half a point. And then the other leg of my teaser is going to be the Chiefs, -1.5 against the Packers. This is a must-win game for the Chiefs, like I talked about earlier. They know this. They needed a field goal to get past the Giants on Monday Night Football, and a week before, they got bounced out of the stadium by the Titans. The Rodgers loss is huge for Green Bay. There's no getting around that. It doesn't look like Devontae Adams is going to be playing, but Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling were back in practice this week. That obviously helps the Packers. You talked, Tony, about Lazard's importance to their running game. I think they keep this one close. They could potentially win it. I do think Kansas City pulls it out, but I'm not willing to lay 7.5 on that line as is, so I'm putting them in a teaser. 6 points. Once again, the Dolphins teasing them down from 6.5 to a half point, basically a pick 'em against the Texans, and teasing the Chiefs down from 7.5 to 1.5 against the Packers.
Dangles, my only question is, you talked at length about you don't know why there's a 6.5 point spread in that Houston-Miami game. Why not tease Houston up?
I have more confidence in the Dolphins to win close than the Texans to lose close.
To not get blown out.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
That makes sense, Dangles.
I will go next. These are two of my favorite teams to watch, and even more, two of my favorite teams to gamble on. Baltimore is coming off a bye, and they're right now a 6-point favorite in their game. And I could see them blowing the doors off of their opponent, but I could also see it being close in the end. They're playing a feisty team, but I just don't see them losing. So I'm going to, especially coming off the bye, I'm going to take Baltimore. I'm going to move it 7 points. The reason I'm moving it 7 points is for the next game, but Baltimore down to +1. The other one is my favorite team to bet on, the only undefeated team left against the spread. This spread is large. Vegas is starting to pay attention to this team. -9.5 against the Broncos. Listen, I think the Broncos stink. I think that locker room is in shambles, especially after trading away Von Miller. A lot of question marks about a Halloween party there. Just not a lot of good juju in that locker room. And it's also in Dallas, but 9.5 is a big number. Denver has a pretty good defense. They could hold Dak, still has a calf issue. They could hold that team to a lower number and keep it within the spread. I'm teasing it a full 7 points to get past the 3. Dallas -2.5. So it's Dallas -2.5 tied with Baltimore +1. That is my two-team teaser. Schaefer the Sharp, take it away.
Guys, I'm sick and tired of this shit, and I can't take it anymore. I was dominating teasers the first 4 weeks, not only in pros, but in college. I literally was hitting, I think I was 12 of 16 in my first 4 weeks. I told my wife, you know, you're getting a Tesla for Christmas, maybe even a jet ski. And after these 3 weeks, she's getting, you know, a stocking stuffer full of $5 Target gift card, maybe a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. So I'm sick of this shit. I'm not betting dumb teams. I'm not teasing them up. I am betting on good teams to win at home. Teaser of the year. I know I said this once, but I mean it this time. Teaser
at least
of
you mean it.
The year. Mm-hmm. 6.5-point teaser. No explanation needed. This will hit. It's as sure as anything you believe in, gold, Bitcoin, cash, whatever you want, play it. Dallas, -2.5. Reasons Tony Square stated. The Los Angeles Rams, -1. Very simple, very clean. That will hit. Take it to the bank. Schaefer the Sharp said so.
Schaefer the Sharp said so. We got a Stone Cold reference in here. All right, let's move on to our two-point side. Dangles, I'm going to come to you first, my friend. Where are you going with your two-point side on the week?
Can someone explain to me why the Arizona Cardinals are only favored by a point and a half against the San Francisco 49ers?
See Kyler Murray's ankle status.
Yeah. I mean, but is there, I mean, how good a chance is it that he doesn't play? I mean, he's going to play if he can walk on it. He's going to play. I'm betting this game, my spread, or my 2-point side, Cardinals minus 1.5 at the 49ers. The Cards are coming off a bye after losing to Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. That's going to sting. And that's going to sit with them for the whole week that they've had on the bye. 49ers just beat the Bears by 11, but they've lost to the Colts at home the week before, and they haven't won a game yet, guys, in Santa Clara this year. I don't think they're going to change that against this week against the team with the league's best record and a team that has actually played some real opponents like the Titans, the Rams, the Browns, the Packers. And the Niners, meanwhile, have yet to beat a team with a playoff resume. Their wins are against Philadelphia, Detroit, and Chicago. I think Arizona comes out firing pretty hard. I guess we don't know the status of Kyler Murray's ankle, but I'm betting on him playing, and I think they cover that point and a half spread.
I almost took that as well, Dangles, but the thing that scares me about that bet is, as you guys said, this is Kansas City's season right here when they're playing Green Bay. This is San Fran's season when they're playing Arizona. If they lose this, they're really taking a step back in their playoff hopes. And also, A.J. Green's controller is still disconnected. He won't be playing in this game because of COVID. That might help the offense, but he won't be there.
Dangles, I will say this game, the way I'm seeing the money come in on it, and there's some sharp movement on the 49ers, it gives me a kind of a queasy feeling, not to freak you out because I know it's just your 2-point side, but it reminds me very much of the Dallas-Minnesota game last week where everyone within the Cowboys organization knew Dak wasn't going to play, and obviously...
But so did
Cooper
we.
Rush. Right. So we'll see, but just know my whole point of why I hated on the Cardinals so much in the preseason was because their backup quarterback, which has the coolest name in the history of male names, Colt, McCoy would be playing. So I hope for your sake Kyler suits up, plays, but that's why I know we kind of retired the hot potato bit after 1 week when I ate my hot potato, but I would be a little curious about that. So let's just keep an eye on that.
The hot potato will be back. We just had a potato shortage this week thanks to Aaron Rodgers. But I'm going to move on to my 2-point side, and this is because, Dangles, you said it already. You could not believe the spread when you saw the Arizona game. I couldn't believe this spread as well. And I kind of did some research, and I listen, the Los Angeles Chargers are 32nd in the world when stopping the run. And I don't know if you know this, but there's only 32 teams in the NFL, so being 32nd is pretty bad. Philadelphia, that's the only thing they can do, is run the football. Los Angeles Chargers also lost that game against New England, not really because of the offense, not really because of the defense, but it was because of their special teams. If you watch that game again, every time LA gets the ball, they're on their far end of the sideline. Every time New England gets the ball, there's a good return by Gunnar Olszewski, and New England has a short field to work with. Los Angeles Chargers are also 32nd in the league on special teams, according to Football Outsiders. Not good. But there's a reason I bet the Detroit Lions to beat the Philadelphia Eagles last week.
Ugh.
Granted, that was completely wrong. But there was a reason I did it. And it's not because I believed in Detroit. It's because I did not believe in Philadelphia. The Los Angeles Chargers only being -2 in this game. I know it's in Philadelphia, but I'm taking the better quarterback, period. Justin Herbert in that offense should be able to score more points than Jalen Hurts in this really bad Philadelphia offense. A little worried about Dallas Goedert. I think he's going to do well, especially a fantasy guy. I think Dallas Goedert has a big game in this game. But again, I'm just going with the fact that I believe more in the Los Angeles Chargers than I do the Philadelphia Eagles. So Los Angeles Chargers -2 is my 2-point side. Shave for the sharp.
Guys, Tony, you said you were a little embarrassed about your Lions bet. You know, I've bet plenty on the Lions in my life. I will do it continuously throughout my life. So that stung a little less, even though I was just like, just mortified by what I was watching. Fully expect that team to have a good effort in the second half, by the way. They're not laying down. They just laid down last week. The way my Sunday was going, it was not going well. And when I tuned in the afternoon to some of that game and what I saw from whatever the hell that team was trying to, the sport they were resembling on the field in Seattle by a Jacksonville Jaguars team. You guys called this. You guys said, wow, Schaefer the Sharp's going to bet on Urban Meyer. And this could have potential to have a good soundbite. And cheese and rice, holy Christmas of God. I wanted to rip my eyes out of my head and juggle them. I've never seen worse body language from a coach. I've never seen worse. I mean, they had delay of game calls coming out in the second half, their first play from scrimmage. Like, Trevor Lawrence, they can't keep him upright. He looks absolutely looks like he's playing. He looks like a stud, like flag football quarterback, like an intramural that's playing with a bunch of like just kids that never played football before. I mean, it is awful. And I bet the Jaguars, and I can't take this. Now, remember, last week I did something unprecedented. I took a road favorite at 2 touchdowns. That was my back of the Brinks truck bet. And guess what? That was the only bet that I won. And I am going back to the well for my 2-point side. I am absolutely, positively the most square side of the week. Might be my most square side of the year. Buffalo Bills -14.5 in Jacksonville. The Bills, all they do is blow teams out. When they win, they're 5-2 on the year. They're 5-0 ATS. They've won by no less than 15 points. I think it's one of the biggest coaching mismatches of all year in Dougie versus Urban here. Josh Allen, the Bills played bad last week, guys. They underperformed they really statistically, yeah. And they still covered. Yeah. They still covered. That team plays 4 quarters, and I think a great team like the Bills, Super Bowl contenders, take this game, and it's like, all right, let's get up to 21. Let's get up by 3-4 touchdowns, and let's work on stuff and maintain a level of competitiveness. This Jaguars team is so freaking terrible. They are a joke. Back up. Well, sorry. I said back up the mini Brinks truck. Yeah.
Back up the mini Brinks truck.
Back up the pickup Brinks. Buffalo
it's the
Bills
Tonka
minus 14
edition
and a half.
Of the Brinks truck. Yeah. The sandbox edition. And I know you're lamenting your Jags bet, Drew, but to be fair, as a show, we are 12-2 when betting on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just throwing that out there. But I think that's
one of those two losses. I have half the losses, dang. So thanks. No.
You might have both of them if we're being honest. But let's move on now. Drew just said he's taking the squares bet all year. Let's move on to the squares bet of the show. This is where we bet the totals each week, over or under a point total on a game. Also worth 2 points to the King of the Coast rankings. And I'll go first. For the first time, because I'm not doing too well in total land. I'm 3-5 on the year, but I've been taking a lot of overs. I've been taking a lot of teams and expecting them to score points, and it just hasn't worked out. But as Drew talked about earlier, he doesn't know why the Carolina Panthers line moved as far as it did. And I'm agreeing with him. I almost took Carolina +3.5 itself. Even with Sam Darnold or P.J. Walker, I'm not sure which quarterback is better in that offense, but I do believe in Carolina's defense to keep it close. On the other side, that New England defense is coming together. They really held Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers in check. And as I said, that special teams won the game. New England has a great special teams unit and a great kicker in Nick Folk. Sorry, Quinn Nordine. Maybe next year is your year. This game, however,
never.
I just don't think these two offenses are going to be able to get going. You got Stephon Gilmore on one side making that Carolina defense, which is great against the run, even better against the pass. And then the New England defense playing against an undermanned unit in Carolina. I understand McCaffrey could be back, but again, he might only play 2 plays before he pulls the hamstring again. So I'm taking the New England and Carolina under 41 points. I know it's a low total. I just expect this to be a field goal game. And the under 41 in New England and Carolina is my total for the week. Dangles, where you going?
Well, you know, it's been a rough few weeks for the Oakland Raiders. I'm sorry, the Las Vegas Raiders. It's been a rough few weeks between John Gruden and now losing Henry Ruggs, who killed someone in a car accident and decided not to get an Uber. I can't figure that out, but we'll whatever.
Thank you for clarifying, though.
It's been a rough couple of weeks for the Raiders. I think they're going to come out though in this, you know, and continue to be galvanized. We saw what happened after John Gruden left. I don't know how you don't kind of gather around your team and kind of, you know, get together and try and move on here. I'm going with the over in this game against the Giants, 46.5 points. The Raiders have scored 67 points in their last two games. The Giants have scored 42, even with all of the injuries that they're dealing with. And I believe I read earlier today that the Raiders, in Raiders games, the total's gone over in 4 straight games against teams with losing records. I don't think it's crazy to think there will be a lot of points coming out on this game. Danny Dimes can still put points on the board, especially if some of their playmakers suit up this week, which I'm hoping for my bet that they will. But I'm going to go Raider. I'm going to go points, as our friends at the West End Gamblers would say in Raiders and Bronx. I'm sorry, Raiders and oh my God, I totally lost my page. Raiders and Giants over 46.5.
That was a great great segment of radio by you, Dangles.
You're welcome.
Drew, where are you going with the total for the week, my
You're
guy?
You're welcome. Dangles, hey, I'm going to back you up there. I actually almost included the Raiders on my card this week for the record. I do like the Raiders. You're absolutely right. They have to at some point just like, all right, this is us against the world at this point, right? In the locker room, like yeah. the only guys that matter, the guys in the locker room, Derek Carr, I'm really growing respect for him as leader. So side note, lean to the Raiders there myself. Man, you know, I was trying to get my total of the week, guys, and it bothers him. As you know, we say it over and over. We tape at an undisclosed hour, yeah. So we don't have all the injury reports coming in. But my total of the week, I am going to New Orleans myself, and I'm going to play the under in the Falcons Saints game, under 42. The Falcons have played three good defenses this year in Philly, the Giants, and Carolina. They haven't scored more than 17 points.
Yep.
And I do not believe if Taysom Hill was playing, if I knew he was starting, this would be a definitely a 10 out of 10 play for me. I'm not sure if Trevor Siemian and Spice is better than Taysom, but I know he likes to throw it more. But I just see this game as, again, Saints probably control the game. They know they're not trying to make mistakes in a division game to win. Falcons, again, without Calvin Ridley, man, you saw it last week. If you can key on Kyle Pitts, I mean, they have really no offensive weapons. I mean, you can call Cordell Patterson kind of a makeshift weapon. He's been good this year, but Ridley's out. And I think if you take away Pitts, you have a really good chance of limiting that offense significantly. Atlanta's defense has been a little better this year, and the Saints certainly don't have a firepower. That score last week was a little inflated by obviously the pick six at the end. So I like this quite a bit. I'm going to go under Saints Falcons 42.
I like that bet a lot. I was looking at it as well. But let's move on now to the Brinks truck bet. It's time to back up the Brinks truck. These are our 3-point sides to end the show. And I'm going to go first because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm a little disappointed in myself at this point in the season. We're already almost after this week, we'll be at the halfway point of the NFL calendar. And I am in exactly 20-20. In these King of the Coast bets. All bets considered, I am 20-20. In fact, I'm 28-28 in all bets on this show. I can't be more even than I am. And I realize that I've done something that I normally don't do on this show. This team is 7-1 against the spread all season long. And they're my own team. And I haven't been taking them as often as I should. Let me take you back almost over 10 years now.
Do I need a lunch for this?
December 19th. December 19th.
1 second. I got to get my flip-flops and a Gatorade and a sack lunch.
December 19th, 2010. Aaron Rodgers is hurt the week before with a concussion, and the Green Bay Packers are traveling to Frosty Gillette Stadium to play the world beater Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots. Yours truly attended that game, one of the last Patriots games I've been at. And I got to watch backup Matt Flynn do everything he could to keep them and the Packers in the game. In fact, he needed a 10-point fourth quarter for the Patriots to come back and win that game 31-27. And if you ask any Packer from then, or you see any documentary, they point to that game, even in a loss, and looked around the locker room afterwards and said, we have what it takes to compete and win a Super Bowl. And win a Super Bowl they did. Now, Aaron Rodgers is missing this game in Kansas City. And I know Kansas City is not the record that New England had back then, but they are still very much the class of the AFC, or at least they're looked at that way. And Green Bay is traveling to this team with a locker room full of guys who are hungry to compete. And Jordan Love, the silver lining in this Aaron Rodgers situation is Green Bay Packers fans get a chance to see Jordan Love in actual live NFL football before he's the only quarterback left in the room. And Jordan Love has a chance to play against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. What better to see what Jordan Love has for cojones than this game right here? I really like my defense, and we play, if you watch the Manning cast, that New England-Kansas City game, the Mannings talked about how the Giants are playing a lot of two high safeties against Mahomes and letting Tyreek Hill beat him short, but they're not letting the big play happen, and eventually Mahomes will make a mistake. Green Bay has played more two high safety in that type of defense than anyone in the league. They're probably going to do the same thing. I'm excited to see this defense against Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I'm extremely excited to see Jordan Love make his debut in this game. I am taking the Green Bay Packers plus 7.5. 7.5 is a big number for this team to to cover the spread in Kansas City against these Chiefs. Green Bay plus 7.5 is my backup the Brinks truck bet, and I fully am. Listen, if Blake Bortles ends up starting this game because Jordan Love also gets COVID, I'm making a change. But right now it's Jordan Love, and right now it's Green Bay plus 7.5. That's my Brinks truck bet. Dangles, where you going?
You know, if this bet makes me square, then I'm happy being square, because it costs the same thing as pretty much any other side you're going to look at in this week of NFL action. I got the Bills at minus 14.5, beating the Jaguars. The Jags are terrible. The Bills are blowing people out. And again, you know, the numbers say we should take the Jags here. I'm 4-1 when betting on them this year, but I really just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Buffalo. I would put the Miami and Houston offenses in the same tier, around the same tier as Jacksonville, and the Bills shut both of those teams out by 35 and 40 points, respectively. I think this is another cakewalk for the Bills. They won't be treating it that way because they're not a team that does that, but I think they win easily by 15 points. I have the Bills as my Brinks truck side. Back it up. Bills minus 14.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I say that as I am wearing a Jacksonville Jaguars t-shirt supporting the team that I once covered. I don't think they are going to cover in this game.
I will say, Dangles, where you're 4-1 when betting on Jacksonville Jaguars games. That's not necessarily with or against them. It's all combined. Yeah. So this is another one in your favor. Shay for the Sharp, let's end the show. What is your final backup the Brinks truck bet for week 9?
Well, boys, it's going to either be a comeback for the ages for the West Coast Gamblers or a snowball going downhill in defeat. Me and Dangles, 5 points combined on the Bills. And I think for the first time in our proud history, I think Dr. Dangle's segments are working, Doctor, because the square and the sharp will be aligned. In what world are the Kansas City Chiefs? Did we watch that game on Monday night? I've been saying it for 4 weeks, guys. There is something fundamentally wrong with this team. Their defense is awful. Mahomes looks off. Kelsey's body language looks bad. I don't understand what's going on with him. They played 20 games, last 20 games. They are 4-15-1 against the spread. This team does not cover. Now, last week, we saw Cooper Rush. We saw Mike White. Not the nickname, Mike White. We saw these guys step up and play awesome. And not only play awesome, their team rallied around him. And I was on the Packers Twitter today, and I loved what I heard. Obviously, everyone's going to say, we believe. But, LaFleur really believes that Jordan Love has something.
Yep.
I think his teammates believe in him. 7.5 is an egregious number. Yeah, but Squares, give me some insider information here. He also said that he's hopeful Devontae and Joe Barry will be cleared to play, which would make this bet even better. But even so, I'm betting on the Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon running combo. I'm betting on that defense to confuse just a very stagnant Chiefs offense. And I do think this game will absolutely be close. I think the Packers are absolutely live to win this game straight up. And I love this bet, guys. I wasn't a believer last Thursday. Obviously, I was on the wrong side. I love what I saw from that Packers team. Their game plan, LaFleur, I have so much respect for him as a coach. Back up the Brinks truck, the square and the sharp together. Plus 7.5. Green Bay, it's weird to say, go Pack. Go.
I was going to set you up with the horns. I was hearing in the background, but you finished it for me. Go Pack, go.
Well,
indeed.
As long as we're not betting on Aaron Jones's understanding of HIPAA, I think everyone wins with this bet.
And that is it for the West Coast Gamblers. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, the only gambling show that makes you money, and we're making money with these bets this week. We can feel it in our bones. That is all for the show. Proud member of the Evergreen Podcast, and as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!